Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. Welcome back to the Campus Tailgate Show. We got an hour before we can get you guys back to your respective area, which is in front of that TV, to watch some of the best college football games this weekend taking place here on a Saturday afternoon. I got an oldie but goodie back in the building. I got my boys back in here, sat right here in the saddle here in Sports City. But I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive.
What about I- be caught in this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunts connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging.
Okay, the caller number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. Sports City, let me get these guys in here because I think we got a pretty awesome show lined up for today. Calling in by way of the Virginia region of the United States of America, my brother, my co-host, Tommy B. Welcome to the tailgate. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm good. C-A-N-E-S, Canes, Canes, Canes. You sorry Seminoles better be ready because that Hurricane Matthew ain't nothing compared to what you're about to hit in the rock. We're coming.
I'm trying to be calm. I actually spoke to a couple of my friends that are Seminole fans, and they already let me know that they think that we still not safe. So I'm trying to keep calm because they got a streak on us, and I just want to see it broken. Okay, Sports City, buckle up, because about 4 or 5 years ago, I started this very show up on this very network with a co-host of mine. And he's back. I got him back. I got Doc Russell in the building. Welcome to the tailgate. How are you feeling this morning?
Well, it's good to be back in the kitchen at the campus tailgate broadcast. For all of you newbies, I was the original host of this broadcast several years ago. And we used to start at 10 a.m., but I think the millennials couldn't handle the early hours, so I guess it got pushed back to 11. In any event, as is well documented, I am the Madden football national champion rookie play level. I crush opponents. I just don't beat them, and the younger the better. Because of me, EA Sports had to stop making their college football game due to my online domination and ability to hit the reset button late in the game down by 3 scores. I'm like Drake. I go 0 to 100 real quick, so don't hate the player. Hate the game.
Hey, Sports City, we got him back. That's what I'm talking about. You already know what he's up to, those old antics. And believe me, I know that the Buckeye Kane stuff can end up going down on this show, Sports City. So just beware. Just beware. But it's all good nature. We don't meet this year, but I know this. We do have the last victory against them. So I do get to laugh at that one. I feel good about that one. The last time we met up, we got him back. Shout out to 2002. I'm still mad about that. Okay, so like I said, we got a lot on slate, especially with the games, because there's some very interesting matchups, including the one that me and TB are looking at severely at the end of the day. I still feel a certain way about the LSU-Florida game. They said that they're going to have a very tough time trying to reschedule that matchup. Potentially, I think that might happen at the end of the game. I think that may happen at the end of November when the season's over. They might have to put that game back in line. First and foremost, the first topic that I do want to get to is a situation that occurred in Buffalo, New York. The quarterback of the Ole Miss Rebels, a.k.a. Chad Kelly, the nephew of Jim Kelly, former Cane, went back home to see his brother's high school football game, and a brawl broke out during the game, and he ends up running on the field trying to make something happen. Now, crazy enough, you shouldn't be out there at a high school game. You got to keep your cool and be an adult now. I mean, you're over 18. Those are kids that are 18 or under. What are you going to do out there? And secondly, how the NCAA handles this situation. Like, they're so sensitive to, you know, crazy things that may happen. Even though he didn't do anything or touch anyone, but they do have video of it, and the actual coach of his brother's football team grabbed him and made sure he got into the sideline to, you know, kind of calm the situation down. But still yet, this is still the era of everybody having a camera phone and both schools taping the game. So I just want to see how they do handle this situation moving forward, especially while Mississippi is trying to turn this thing around after having a shaky start to their SEC season. I want to see how you guys feel about this as we jump into this topic. Tommy, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on Chad Kelly just last night in a situation where his brother Casey, his team actually got into a brawl during the game.
You know, I mean, to set it up, I'm not saying you didn't do a good job. His brother, I believe, is the quarterback, scrambled, scored a touchdown, was hit late in the end zone. Then the teammates came in and pushed and shoved, and it broke out. I don't know if Chad was on the sidelines and shouldn't seen where there was cameras, and he had figured, hey, let me show myself because I can't let my brother show me up, so I got to be the center of attention because that's just what I am. I'm Chad Kelly. I got to be the center of attention. Or if he jumped the fence. I mean, I understand why he kind of did it. I mean, it is family. It is brothers. I mean, that brother instinct, that family instinct, jump. It comes to you. But at the same time, like you said, what's he really going to do? I mean, these are kids. You're an adult. If you would show that much fire on the football team, and on your team when you play, maybe you actually would have beaten some of these teams and wouldn't have blown leads. It's hard to say what really he was really thinking. Maybe he – I mean – I understand why he did it, in a way, because it is his brother, but he's got to understand his brother's got to fight his own battles. He's not going to be there all the time for it.
Okay, Doc, your thoughts on Chad Kelly, and Tommy, just to give you a little help, he was on the sideline during the game. It wasn't like they were going to keep him up in the stands, but however, I don't think his emotion should have ran over in a high school football game, no less. But, Doc, your thoughts on the situation, and I like that Tommy threw that out because that fight or fire should have been in the same situation when they gave up that big lead up against Florida State earlier this season, and he couldn't put any more points on the board, and then watching the same situation happen up against Alabama where they couldn't seal the deal up against the Crimson Tide. But now they are turning this season around and picked up two wins. He has an off week this week, so he does get this time off. However, the university and the NCAA are probably going to have to deal with this or keep a blind eye to it. Your thoughts on Chad Kelly?
Well, I guess I kind of agree in some respects with what Tommy B had to say. It does feel like it does look like he feels like he can insert himself in any situation. And that's a sign of immaturity. It's a stupid move. But look, this is a sensational headline, nothing more. It's not the end of the world. I don't think there was a crime committed. Suspension? Nah. I guess I'd like to know what other people think. Should the guy be suspended for any kind of game or portion of a game? I don't think the NCAA needs to take any action. Stupid? Yes. This is the kind of stuff that happens on a bye week. And, you know, you always see people in college football do stupid stuff and the week before summer camp begins because they're blowing off steam, or in a bye week for much of the same reasons. But this happens all the time, and I would say something like this is warranted of lots of post-practice hill drill running, if you know what I mean.
Right. And here's the crazy part. Him being a quarterback and his brother playing the same position, he knows the severity and the physicality of this sport. His brother's going to get hit. His brother can end up taking a blindside hit, similar situation, or scrambling, which they both do, which Jim Kelly didn't do. Let me just chill out. But anyway, they both scramble. And even if they're approaching the sideline, you know some players try to edge the line and get more yardage. So it actually bothers me to a certain extent when players try to get more yardage and then they get hit, then they throw their hands up and look at the ref. It's like, come on, what are you supposed to do? Like, we're going to make you pay or learn to go out of bounds or some of that nature. But you know that they're already sensitive to quarterbacks. But he knows the physicality of the sport of football. This stuff is going to happen. His brother's played football for more than this year. You're going to storm the field? Like for what? Your brother has a team of at least however many players are 60 or better or on that team that should actually provide the help or help him up, or if he's in a brawl situation that they're going to fight, or well, not even saying that, like I'm condoning fighting, but stick up for him in that situation. You're putting yourself at risk where all cameras are on you. Even when you walked into that stadium, wherever this game took place in Buffalo, everybody knew you were there. Everybody knew you were there. They know your brother. They know that you are the player in the SEC. That family resides in, northern western portion of New York. I wonder how they handle it. Excuse me?
Say the brawl happens. Say that this, I guess they were the visiting team. Or they may have been the home team. Say that the other team, say someone's father, just because it's Chad Kelly, turns around and cold cocks Chad Kelly and he's out for the rest of the season. He's got to be smart enough to not put his actual team, Ole Miss, in jeopardy too.
And that is another way to look at it. If he did get into the fight and ended up getting hit and he's out there with a whole bunch of kids with equipment, and, you know, worst things could occur, whether they hit him with a helmet or he gets, you know, pounded on by a couple of players. So what? I think he definitely should have, out of anybody, should have preserved his cool. And knowing that you're a D1 college athlete, you got to be smarter in that situation. I think more than ever, with a lot of people claiming, quote-unquote, that the SEC is the best conference in football, you have to show some more reserve than that. So that's kind of like if a situation arrives on Mississippi's team and your defense got into a fight, would you storm the field again? Or would you believe your defense could take care of the matter? That's the one thing that I'm looking at with Chad Kelly.
Yeah, it's a learning situation to be sure. And I think the coaches of Ole Miss should treat it as such and nothing more and kind of move on, because you put yourself in a situation when you get out on the field. I mean, first off, he's a fan, and fans shouldn't storm the field in any sport at any
right.
level. Fans, parents, anything like that. If you can't handle the game, then don't go to the game. And so that's how we should look at this. No suspension. I don't think the NCAA needs to take any action here, but it's a learning moment for the young man, and let's hope he learns something.
Okay, fair enough. I feel like we can talk about that one for hours, but I do want to get away from that one. Now, I kind of wanted to, like, leave this in the midst of things, but I'm going to come at one coach who's dealing with a questionable situation at this point in time of the season, which is Charlie Strong, the head coach down at the University of Texas. Now, interesting enough, I kind of wanted to tie this into the game, but I'm going to save that game segment for the end of the show anyway. But I want to look at Strong and also kind of tie in Stoops as well. Even though Stoops is still ranked, Oklahoma is ranked 20th in the nation right now, I think both of them are in questionable situations on how their teams have panned out. They both respectively play this Red River rivalry in the next 45 minutes. So I can't wait to see this game go down. But we won't go to scores or, you know, who wins the game, so on and so forth. I want to talk about Charlie Strong. Now, it's funny that they are a .500 team right now, Texas doesn't have the quality across the board like we're known to see in Texas when the Ricky Williams era was there, so on and so forth. But they are trying to rebuild that situation. I feel like Strong is turning the tide somewhat. And there are already people that are tied into the university that's questioning or asking for his head or saying that he's on the hot seat. Me, personally, I guess I'm going to go first. I don't feel like it's fair. Let him get through the season. He's at the fifth game of the season. They're 500, and he's doing all right. I mean, they're 500. Just like the team that they're playing. Oklahoma has two losses on the season, and they're 500. But both of these coaches, this is why I tied them together, because Stoops, I don't think that if he does better that he'll end up leaving Oklahoma, but I think if it gets worse for him in Oklahoma, I think he'll be in the same situation here in the respected Big 12 Conference. Both of these teams are trying to get on an upward spiral, if they will. I don't think they want to see this go downward anymore, but I think the questionability, you know what, I'm hopscotching over to Alaska City. A lot of people that I've spoken to question the fact that he ended up being there long anyway, just because he's an African-American coach, where he, you know, a lot of African-American coaches in the Big 12 don't last long or succeed well with their respective universities. So is it fair that they come that strong right now, or do you think it's a situation where it's unfair and let him finish the season or see what he could do in another year or so? I want to throw this one around the tailgate. Doc, I'll start with you first. Charlie Strong.
Yeah, you know, I'm on the record here on this broadcast last season supporting Charlie Strong. I recognize the fact that he was sort of dealt a tough hand in Texas after Mack Brown's departure, but I will say this: Lee Corso hit on this earlier. So you know, Charlie Strong sort of made his own bed here by pissing off a lot of boosters and administration officials when he came in and sort of unceremoniously cleared house with players and administration. Now, that's his right as a head coach to be able to do that, but it really puts himself in a tough spot. Rich Rodriguez in Michigan went through the same thing, you know, just coming in and doing things his own way and a real hard head about it. Fact of the matter is, after, you know, three seasons here of Charlie Strong, he's got a 13-16 record. And he's given up too many points, and he's a defensive guy. You know, you're going to give up points in the Big 12, but you can't give up 40 and 50 points or so, 40-plus points a game. And I do agree with TP. I think he should finish the season. I think he's entitled to that. I think he, you know, has run a program, at least ethically appears to be okay, hasn't run afoul academically or anything. So I think he's entitled to finish the season, but it's Texas. And conference championships and national championships are what's expected. And you have this Tom Herman effect that's out there too. You know, this is the hot guy in the room. And you got LSU now that's going to be chomping at the bit to get to him. Some other program may dump their coach before the end of the year. That is a big D1 program that's a step up. So Texas is going to feel pressure. And finally, you know, TP brought up the racial component of it. You know, I don't know what's in the hearts and minds of people, and I think sometimes we throw that card around a little too much, but it is in some respects a fair question to ask, but the way that I would answer it would be just that. I mean, I don't know what's in the hearts and minds of the people in charge at Texas, but, you know, African-American head coaches are getting their shot. I think it's good to see that they're getting their shot. A lot of folks that are, you know, are getting their shot, but hopefully they're getting their shot because they're qualified and not that they happen to be African-American. And hopefully they're getting fired or promoted with raises and contract extensions, not because they're African-American, because their record deserves a firing or their record deserves a promotion.
Now, in that situation, it's been him and Sumlin that have been the only two African-American coaches in that respected conference for quite some time. Yes or no?
I would take your word for it. I can't think of another Big 12 coach that's African-American at this point.
Okay, so that's why I threw it out there. And I didn't really want to go that route or make it seem like a severe issue, but the one person that's speaking out where you actually threw it was his athletic director, who's saying that he's standing by Coach Strong at that given situation. But like you said, the expectancy for people that are down there in Austin or people that support the Longhorns want to see things done better or have them be a top 25 university at this point in time, which if they win this game, do they put them in the top 25 or do they keep them out of the top 25? Then people are worried about when do they become a top 25, if the, top 25 team, excuse me, if they don't get to this point in time of the get to that ranking at this point in time of the season, excuse me again. But I want to see him try to persevere. I think a lot of people buy into what he's doing. He's running a two quarterback situation out there. And they actually started the season out with some interesting wins. But then again, I also agree with you again, Doc, with the points that he's been giving up, it's going to be hard for him to win a lot of these games. In the Big 12, if you're giving up over more than 35, 40 points a game, I think it's tough to win these games. So, again, he's lost two games on the season. I want to see him try to turn this around. But this is a very interesting situation as they get into their rivalry game up against Oklahoma. And Bob Stoops has the same face as well. Tommy, your thoughts on the situation around Coach Charlie Strong?
I think it's ridiculous. When this man was hired, I'm sure everybody here, even Sports City, remembers the bigger boosters for Texas came out and said they didn't want him. They didn't want him. They didn't. For what reason? I don't know. I guarantee you, if I'm Charlie Strong, I'm one out. They didn't want me there in the first place. They've got too many people that's speaking. They've got too many people that's talking. They need one voice in Texas. Not all these well owners that's got all this money sitting there throwing money at Texas and everything, boosters. Your president and the athletic directors, the one that needs to make these decisions, and either one of them got any balls to tell the boosters to shut the hell up, they're running the program. I guarantee you he's ready to go, but he's not going to quit on his team because Charlie Strong's not a quitter. But this is a joke.
So you feel like he's ready to leave Texas already, or do you think that he's going to fight for this job and kind of try to turn this thing around? I think the challenge is built for a coach to not only persevere through the situation but make things better also. Or do you think that he'll try to finish the season and kind of soak his way out and then they move him?
Yeah, he'll fight for his job because he's a fighter. But and you got to, I mean, Ty, would you want to work somewhere that somebody that didn't want you there? They don't want him. The boosters don't want him. There's a lot of fans that don't want him. I mean, I guarantee they lose this game tonight or today, this afternoon. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear all kinds of stuff coming out of the boosters. Don't forget, they will completely forget that he knocked them off last year. Because there's so many of these people out here that don't want him there, and they'll start picking, and they'll start complaining, and they'll be little keyboard thugs going in behind their keyboards or their tat or whatever, saying stuff.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's going to be very difficult for Charlie Strong to stay on past this year, much less past this week if he loses against Oklahoma, for a lot of those reasons that you talked about, Tommy B. But you got to be careful here if you're Texas. You run the risk of if you dump this guy, of not getting your guy Tom Herman, and that's who they want. So I would suspect that there's some people right now behind the scenes doing some communication to find out what interest level Tom Herman has in Texas, because you don't want to. I mean, you're going to get caught with your pants down if you don't land your guy.
Right, and especially if it turns. And I don't want to use the situation, but I kind of do. With Ty Whittingham out there in Notre Dame, and when he was removed from Notre Dame, he had an 8-3 season, and that just wasn't enough for the people of South Bend or people that respected Notre Dame, so on and so forth. As soon as they brought in another coach, well, Charlie White didn't do well after Ty, you know, and until he actually got a turnaround, Brady Quinn and Samardzija and so on and so forth, it took a while for him to actually get his foot in the ground. But after an 8-3 season, they removed Ty out there in Notre Dame. The same situation is looking like that for Strong, just like Doc mentioned. If he doesn't get out of this game today, will this be a situation where he'll be asked to leave in this upcoming week of what, October 9th, 2016? Because I don't want to say today. If they fire him after the game, that would be a total shocking situation. Like, I'd definitely be breathless if they lost, unless they got blown out. And this is going to be interesting because this game is taking place outside of Austin. So they do have to make this happen somehow, some way on the road. But if they did fire him today, then it would be the week of 10-8. But I'm saying the start of the week, which would be tomorrow of the night. It would be interesting if they did remove him, if he did end up losing to Oklahoma, which Oklahoma is the favorite in this game. So I do want to see how it does end up panning out or resonating moving forward.
Let's take a step back for a moment. If he loses today, his record is 13-17 and what, one marquee win? I mean, you can't count Notre Dame because they've been exposed. I mean, yeah, that was a big game, but not marquee. No conference championships. You know, if they lose to Oklahoma today, how are they going to win the Big 12? Certainly no national championships. So I think it's unfair. Let me just say, I think it's unfair. I think he's been dealt a tough hand. But you got to look at the record. And not only the record, but you have to look at, has there been any tangible improvements for the program as a whole, in offensively, defensive units, and as a program as a whole? And I think that's going to be a tough putt for Charlie Strong to navigate if he makes it through the year.
But people's also got to understand, especially down in Austin, and all these boosters have got to understand, the Big 12, I'll leave the Big 12. I'll go to the state of Texas. TCU's a lot better than what they were back when Mac Merrill was winning. So now they're getting recruits. Baylor's a lot better. So they can get some of these recruits. A&M is a lot better. They can get – I mean, people's got to remember, even Houston is getting some of these kids that Texas was just, hey, come Texas. You don't want to go to Baylor. Well, hey, now the teams are thinking – some of these kids are thinking, wait a minute now, I can go to Baylor and do the same thing that I did at Texas.
It's not like it was. You can go to Baylor and get away with sexual assault, too.
Oh, God. That's a whole other situation.
I don't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. I just happened to think, I mean, this first thing that popped in my head.
You're fine, but I mean, you all see what I'm saying. You can go to these other schools. It's not like Texas is the only big time school now in Texas.
Right.
Well, and you know what? A lot of that has to do with TV viewership and exposure on TV. You know, one of the things that's hurt Notre Dame so much in the last 20 years is now everybody's on national TV. It's Notre Dame's no big deal anymore. And in Texas, everybody went to Texas, or Oklahoma for that matter. But Houston's now on TV, A&M's on TV more. I mean, all these other programs. And not only that, but three- and four-star athletes can go to those other programs and be more impactful than just getting lost in the mix at Texas. So everyone, and not to mention this has been around for a long time, but the scholarship limits. That's a more seasoned change in college football, but that's even had an effect long term.
And this is where I look at it, too. That game that they won up against Notre Dame, they were a top 10 ranked team out of the gate, but Notre Dame didn't look like a top 10 ranked team. That goes to show, wink, wink, about the preseason ranking situation that the committee comes out with, because now Notre Dame has fallen completely out of the top 25, excuse me.
And they gave up 47 points.
Right, at that. Then they win a game up against UTEP, but then those two games were in Texas. The next two games that they played were on the road at Cal and at Oklahoma State, where they lost that game to Cal by a score, but then Oklahoma State clearly took care of business, almost scored. I might as well say 50. They scored 49. They gave up 50 again. Three of these which games that they've given up 40 or better in the start of the season. So this is
and
where
they're 1-2.
Lie.
And they're 1-2 in those games. They're 1-2
right,
in those
right.
games. You can't do that. You just cannot give up, you know, 40 plus points a game and expect to have any long-term success. Even if you're scoring 40 points a game, it's just not going to work.
So,
Ty, you do see this team in Dallas, Texas. Both teams have to travel.
Say that again, Tommy.
I said you do know this game's in Dallas, Texas.
Okay,
at
but
the
they're
Cotton
playing
Bowl.
At Jerry's. Okay, they're playing at Jerry's World. Okay. Oh no, they're in the Cotton Bowl. Okay, great.
It's in the Cotton Bowl where they've always
okay.
played it at.
Right. Fair enough.
Well, it's
do,
a cool thing to see. The Red River shootout's actually pretty cool. The way that the stadium looks with the burnt orange and the crimson and cream, or whatever the hell colors they have, it's an aesthetically pleasing sight to see all that.
Yeah, the way they split that, it is nice.
Yeah, it's a nice rivalry. I still call it the Red River shootout because I'm not weak-kneed politically correct. But it's almost a distraction this year, frankly, the entire game because of all of these, you know, Oklahoma. Hey, you know, I know we're talking about Charlie Strong, but Bob Stoops, he's good in Oklahoma for as long as he wants to be. But, boy, they're having some problems too.
Right, right. Exactly why I tied those two together and making this an important game for both of the head coaches. And I said to Tommy in the green room, it's funny that both of their last names start with an ST. It has nothing to do with it, but Strong, Stoops, I had to say that. So being in a given situation for both of them, especially I'll go Strong since we're staying strong, right? If Strong ends up giving up 40-plus points again today and loses, does he lose his job now or do they give him the remainder of the season? I'll come right back to you, Doc, and then I'll go to Tommy also.
I mean, I don't think he loses his game or loses his job after this game, but it, you know, anything can happen. If Texas thinks that they can land Tom Herman, then they will send a message earlier as opposed to waiting until the end of the season. So he could, but I don't think he will. And let me just say this about Stoops. You know, he's got problems too, but Bob Stoops has a lot of wins, a very good winning percentage, and a national championship and played for a few more on his resume. That's a lot different than Charlie Strong.
Tommy, your thoughts, same question. If Oklahoma scores 40 or more and wins this game, the Strong still remain as the head of the helm in Austin.
I think he loses. If they lose, I think no matter what, unless they win the Big 12 this year, I think he's gone at the end of the year. And I'm going to throw another name. Everybody's talking about Tom Herman. It's understandable. Don't forget that Mad Hatter that just got fired at west or east of Austin, Texas, over the next state over, Les Miles. They could try to go get Les Miles.
That would be interesting. And last week we already threw the Les Miles situation up there in Notre Dame if it had actually opened up if Chip Kelly kept playing around with Notre Dame because he even said his job wasn't safe. So a lot of coaches could get moved around this season if things don't start to pan out. My eyes are definitely on this game itself. Well, we have a little
Oh, and don't forget
minutes.
About Penn State. Let me just throw that out there. I don't want to talk about it, but just for people to think about it. James Franklin is on the hot seat at Penn State, to be sure. So we'll see what happens in Happy Valley.
You said the hot seat, or is that seat burning? Like I don't know if that's a hot seat. That seat is burning, like bad. Penn State is getting beaten brutally. Things have not really changed since Joe Pa's left. Penn State is definitely in a crazy situation in itself, and I really wish Sirius was here to try and defend them, but he doesn't even feel comfortable about Penn State. So even looking at the Penn State.
Dave Hitmas.
Wait, say that again?
SBF 50 wouldn't even save his ass.
Hey, sunscreen. Okay, fair enough.
He could have never left Vanderbilt. He had the perfect thing set up right there at Vanderbilt when he left.
Well, the grass is always greener over the septic tank.
Right. That's true. You don't want to dig a hole that deep. You don't want to dig a hole that deep. Now, it's crazy. Looking at the coaches that we just mentioned, the two that are taking place today, in the next couple of minutes, with Strong and Stoops. We also talked about Les Miles already losing his job down there in Baton Rouge. Chip Kelly, if things go, I said Chip, Brian Kelly, if things don't turn around up there in South Bend. And also, I really think that Franklin could end up losing that job at Penn State. Penn State looks terrible. I don't know if anybody should be looking at a coach that should be shown the exit. It would be Penn State situation. But
I think Chip. I think Brian Kelly has some leeway in Notre Dame, frankly, and that's just because of the coaching carousel that's been going on through there. And I think behind the scenes, you will never hear an arrogant Notre Dame person admit to this, but I think they know their spot now. And as long as Kelly can get them to top tier bowls, and that means he can lose three or four games a year, they're going to keep him around.
Okay, fair enough. So I got these boys cooking, man. They're cooking, and I love this, man. The call-in number is 917-889-9592. I want to get into these games. And you know what, Sports City? Why not? The game takes place at 12 o'clock, and I'm hiding. Stoops, that's right, Bob. You've been hiding. I haven't really spoke on your situation. They take place. I get to tie them in together. The Red River rivalry. Texas up against Oklahoma. Oklahoma is a big favorite in this matchup. Both of these teams are 2-2. Who wins this game and why? Tommy, I'll come to you first.
I think Oklahoma wins it, and I think they win it walking away. I really do. I mean, I say that, but then I look back and I see what Texas can do, especially with the true freshman quarterback that can throw the football. Oklahoma's had problems at times on defense. I think it'll be close up until the fourth, and Oklahoma just takes over, personally.
Doc, your thoughts on this game? Who wins and why?
Well, I think if the what I'm looking at is the correct line, then it looks like Oklahoma's getting 10.5 points. If you're picking against the spread,
it's actually moved up to 13.5.
Okay, 13.5. Wow, that seems pretty high to me. But what do I know? I'd probably take Texas if I was picking against the spread. Because I think they're going to score points. And with that, you know, I'm going to take Texas in this game. We'll see if the players, you know, they propped up Charlie Strong after the Notre Dame game, carried him off the field. But on the field, they've let him down a little bit. And we'll see if he's got anything left in the tank, if his players can sneak out a victory. And the other thing is, you know, Oklahoma's not all that good.
So we have a split already, Sports City, and I have to break it. This is interesting. Interesting thing about this game, too, they said that Baker Mayfield has come to the game in a walking boot, and that's actually been helping him get back into the win column, is that his mobility has helped. But the way that he started the season out, I was actually picking on him here in the tailgate about how his quarterback capabilities have actually become a question, but he's actually turned this thing around. With them moving this up, I think Texas would cover, but I think Oklahoma will win. I think this will be an interesting game. I think this will be a one-score game. I think this will be anywhere from 7 to 3 points or less. 7 or less. Let me just say 7 or less, not 7 or 3, but 7 or less. Oklahoma wins this game, interesting enough. But if Texas wins this game, I will be right here on the brunch tomorrow asking about Bob Stoops. I will. I will be asking about Bob Stoops. He will be the question that I have, and the situation of if he's safe moving forward, because they have so many people talking about people's jobs being safe, so on and so forth. I feel like it should be respectfully thrown back at him in this given situation. Okay, so moving right along across the board, I don't want to do this to the Navy, but does anybody think the Navy can handle Houston the way that Houston's been playing ball this season? Any one of you?
No.
This could be a trap game. Is that Navy? That triple option? It could be close. Let me see. Let's see. 17.5, Houston. I'm telling you, I'd be careful. I think Houston wins it, but don't count out Navy. I'm telling you, there's something about that triple option.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I think Navy can really make this a game because of the unique style of play that they have in the triple option, and it's triple option's difficult because it really requires players to maintain their on defense, to maintain their lanes and be disciplined, and trust their coaching. It's not like some games where you can just tell the defensive line to pin their ears back and head after the quarterback. That's not something you can do here. And if Houston is caught, and also the way that Navy blocks, we've all heard this before. They really cut block and they go for your ankles, and that tries on a big 250-pound, 280-pound defensive lineman. So it is a lot of things to be careful of in this game. But I think Houston has the firepower to get it done.
Now, here's the interesting thing about this situation. We've actually talked about Houston earlier in the season and what's actually been helping carry them while the remainder of the team gets their legs underneath them is Houston's defense. Houston's defense has actually stepped up and played well, but here goes the interesting thing. How long can the Navy run the doggone ball if Houston's putting up bomb after bomb and Greg Ward Jr. is handling business in the air? If they can win this game, well, let me not just say win the game. If Houston can put points on the board passing this ball, let's say they get Navy in a double-digit lead, whether it's 10 or 14, looking at that situation, Navy can't continue to sit up there and try to run the ball and think that they're going to get into a track meet while they're speed walking. You see what I'm saying? So I think Houston can take care of business. If Houston's defense comes to play like they've already done, because don't forget, Houston is the same team that stung Oklahoma, the team that we just were talking about earlier in the season, because of their defense. Their offense wasn't clicking in that game. Their defense was there. So I think Houston gets it. Houston is a top-10 team that wants recognition. They know everything that's on the line right now. If they end up losing or looking questionable in this game, I think their season is off for naught, and everything that they fought for in the past, I'll say, 2 to 3 seasons of getting to this point. I think Houston covers at that. I don't really want to use the cover situation, but if it was a 3-score situation, 17.5 is 3 scores, I think they take care of business up against Navy. Navy has looked kind of questionable also. Even though that triple option is effective, they lost a questionable game this season as well. So I think Houston gets it. I think Houston takes care of business as well.
Plus, that defense is going to get you get sucked up with that triple option, this. And then corners and safety start sneaking up, and when you least sneak it, Navy can throw the ball up over top.
We'll see if they do take that attempt to go up top. Houston secondary is legit. Their secondary is legit. I feel like those corners can't play that defense. But we'll see. We'll see. Everybody, unless you feel different about it, Tommy, I could actually mark it down that you're going Navy or you're going Houston.
Oh, I think Houston wins, but this game's okay. Not going to be a blowout like everybody thinks.
Fair enough. All right. Does anybody think, and I don't want to do this one right now, but I have to, does anybody think the Hoosiers could live off of what they did last week up against Michigan State and shock the Buckeyes, or do the Buckeyes take care of business in the shoe?
We really got to talk about these Buckeyes. Please, they don't play nobody at the end of the year. Move on.
They're the best team in the country right now, and they should be able to handle Indiana. Though it has been a situation where Indiana's done Indiana's been a little pesky against the Buckeyes the last couple of years. But, again, Ohio State's the best team in the country right now, playing like the best team in the country. They shouldn't have any problems against Indiana today.
Well, City, he's back with that Ohio State Buckeye talk. He's back. They're the best team in the country. Which they've actually played it. But I think last year, wasn't this a one-score game? Wasn't it like 17-10, 17? I think the game, that's how the game might have went last year. I think this was a very close game last year. But due to the fact that I think they had all of the quarterback dilemma going on anyway. But just like you said, Indiana has been pesky. Indiana's coming off of a big win last week up against Michigan State at that. It would be interesting if they could come into the shoe and make this a game. This would be interesting, but I'm not going to I'm not going against the grain. I'm not going to be crazy. I'm going with Ohio State as well. That 28-point spread is pretty huge, but I think
everybody. Well, that's how we should pick this game. We should pick this game against the spread. I mean, I see 29.5. You're saying 28. You know, does Ohio State cover? I think they cover.
Tell me, how do you feel about it? Four scores. Do you think Ohio State can beat them by four? Well, four scores. Let me not say four. Four scores.
It all depends on how they start. There's times where Ohio State comes out very sluggish and don't start well. But, of course, once again, like I've said, they haven't played nobody, or do they ever play anybody until the end of the season.
So how do you feel? Yes or no? Do they cover the 28 or 29? Let's just say 30. Well, 29.5. I'll go to 29 at Doc's. I see 28 right now.
Just split the difference and say 29.
Okay, 29. Do they cover 29, Tommy?
Yeah, it's Indiana. And they're in that shoe. Yeah, they'll cover.
Okay, a top 10 matchup in the SEC, no less, which we were all talking about, of which both of these teams are undefeated. Who is the real monster of the one of the monsters? Because right now the monster of the SEC is still Alabama. Until somebody can figure out Nick Saban in that evil empire, who wins this matchup? Tennessee going to College Station up against these Aggies of Texas A&M. And Trevor Knight, I'm not going to lie to you, I am a fan. I like what you do. I admitted it in Sports City. I like quarterbacks that can scramble. If it breaks down, I don't like to see quarterbacks throw it out of bounds. Even though that's a smart thing to do and the right thing to do, right decision, I like quarterbacks that can tuck the ball and go and make the linebacker say, oh, crap, that's my responsibility. And Trevor Knight has been taking stuff to the house. He is a house caller, but in which Tennessee has a quarterback that can take off himself, and he just got off a game-winning Hail Mary and making his head coach fall to his knees and start crying at the end of the game. I'm not going to lie. That was an epic ending for Tennessee to pull that one out up against Georgia. But somebody's O must go. I want to see how you guys feel about this one. Tommy, the two T's involved in this one, Tennessee, Texas A&M, who do you like in this game and why?
Already said. I've already put it out there. Tennessee loses their next two games. Including they lose this one and they lose next week. So it makes the East wide open again, in a way. Give me A&M. Their defense is gone. That defense is swarming when they want to be. Hearn's out for them for Tennessee. They've got star defensive players that's out, hurt. I don't like no. Sorry, I'm going A&M.
Doc, who do you like in this matchup, the two T's, Tennessee or Texas A&M? Which team are you going with?
You know, neither of these teams are getting a lot of respect nationally, and specifically Tennessee. And I can recall in 2002, my beloved Ohio State Buckeyes were playing very similar to how Tennessee is playing this year. Scrappy team, win at all costs, us against the world. And they won the national championship against God, who did Ohio State win that national championship against? I can't recall.
You mean official threw it 8 seconds after we came out and whooped that ass, and the official threw a flag 8 seconds after we were celebrating? Okay, you can have that fucking win.
Yeah, still hurts, doesn't it, buddy? Well, in any event, I'm going to take Tennessee. I kept the trophy shine just for you, too. So anytime you want to take a look at it, you come on over to Broadcast Park. I'm going to take Tennessee in this one simply because I think they have sort of an X factor this year. They've got that it swagger. And I'm not trying to pimp them up and overhype them or take the sexy pick because that's what it is. I just think they have something going this year, and I think they're going to be able to let it continue. And another thing, you know, anybody else think this whole the cadet thing at A&M is with the band and those uniforms? It kind of reminds you of that guy in Animal House, and who dressed up. I mean, are these ROTC people? Because if they are, I'll take it all back. But my understanding is they're not. But I just think it's a little silly. So that in and of itself, I'll take Tennessee.
Okay, and this makes it interesting. Was Horse City? I knew that he would try to. Even he went 2002 and try to like peg toward it, and then to the national championship. If those refs didn't throw that flag that late, come on, Doc, we would have been back-to-back champions. You know the nation would not want to see the U do that. They don't want to see that happen. They didn't want to see that happen.
Yeah, so
Tommy, hang on. Let me finish, please. Look, you can take it. I understand what happened. We even did that with McGahee knocked out of the game. With McGahee out of the game. So crazy enough, you can have it. So on and so forth. I'm not bitter about it anymore. I know that we won that national championship. We played a scrimmage after we won a national championship. We gave you a scrimmage. You won at the goal line with Claret. There you go. You can have it. But
you guys need to get together with the Buffalo Bills and the Get Over It Club.
Wait. Why does everybody want to interrupt me? I don't interrupt any of you. Neither one of you. I don't do this to. But every time I start cooking, y'all love to eat my food. That's it. They like to eat my food. Fair enough. I got it. So, like I said at the top of this topic, Trevor Knight, I'm a fan. I believe in you, and here's the reason why. Tennessee, show me that you can lock this offense up because you let Georgia take you to the brink. And the crazy part about it, Georgia does not look good as a team this year. They do not. They took you guys to the brink. You needed a Hail Mary. In an accelerated celebration penalty to help you guys get downfield in a heave with his eyes closed and make it happen. I'm not taking anything away from Tennessee, but you needed a Hail Mary to beat Georgia. I'm going with Texas A&M to stop this dream of Butch Jones. Okay, ACC matchup, Virginia Tech visiting the Tar Heels. It's a 1-point difference. Virginia Tech is favored, but I look at this as basically a pick 'em at that. This is tough for me. This is tough. The border, Virginia and North Carolina, the border. Oh, man. I'm going to go with North Carolina. I'll go with North Carolina and Chapel Hill at home to win this game. I feel bad. Even though Beamer's not there anymore with Virginia Tech, but I think they bumped Virginia Tech out of the top 25. Doc, I'll come to you. Your thoughts on this situation?
Well, I thought we were operating under the Tim Kaine rules, which is where we can interrupt at least once per pick. But in any event, in case people didn't hear me, I think the Canes fans need to get together with the Bills fans in the Get Over It Club. But in any event, it could have been defensive holding or pass interference. But we'll let it go. As far as this game goes here, if it was basketball, I'd be pretty excited. But it's not. I just think Virginia Tech is they may not be the better team, but I just don't know how good North Carolina really is. And I think when all that's said, Virginia Tech is better coached schematically. So I'm going to go with an upset. I mean, I guess it's an upset. UNC, my line is giving up 2.5 to Virginia Tech, but I'm going to take the Hokies.
Okay, and you say you don't know how good North Carolina is, and they just knocked Florida State off.
Well, I don't think Florida State's all that good, but, yeah, it was a good victory.
Okay. Fair enough. Tommy, you are there in the heart of this situation. Virginia Tech going to UNC. Who do you like in this matchup and why?
If it's raining like it is in Raleigh from Matthews, this game could be very interesting. And it probably is. Chapel Hill's getting hit with this Hurricane Matthew, I'm sure. I'm still going with UNC. I think the showdown next week is huge for the Coastal. Miami and North Carolina, both teams will be undefeated in my book. Virginia Tech's 2 years away, at least. At least. Maybe a year away. Maybe next year they'll make some noise in the Coastal. I'm riding with North Carolina until someone knocks them off. That offense is still lethal. Defense is suspect at times this year, but that offense is still lethal, just like it was last year. I'm taking Chapel Hill.
Okay, I'm going to take us out west. Colorado visiting the Brother Trojans in Los Angeles up against USC. Colorado's actually playing some very interesting ball, undefeated in the Pac-12 at that. USC has come out to a very questionable start, starting to get things turned around with an interesting win as well. Does USC actually win this game that they're favored in up against a top 25 team on the road? Tommy, I'll start with you first. Buffaloes or the Trojans?
Bye-bye, top 25 Colorado. You played well. You've done okay. Give me the Trojans all day. They're just more athletic offensively. If they can play focus, I think they rolled Buffalo.
DR, who do you like in this matchup and why?
Well, I got to be strategic with this pick, and I'm going to say the Trojans as well, because you know I could say either team could win, frankly. So I'm going to be strategic with this pick. I like Colorado's upswing this year. I think they've obviously got something going for them, but you know, at the end of the day, this is still SC. This is still a program that probably, best as I could tell, has more talent on paper than Colorado. The game is in Los Angeles. So, you know, how will the Colorado players respond? The list goes on and on, I think. So, you know, strategically picking, though, I'm going to say the Trojans.
Fort City, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going up against the panel. I'm going with the Buffaloes. I'm going with Colorado to pull this off in California. Okay, so I've got this written down. I am going up against the panel. Moving right along, anybody feel Arkansas can upset Alabama?
Absolutely.
Nobody
they can.
Okay.
I mean, they can. I don't know if they will or not. I mean, you know, Bert Bielema might be one of the most overrated coach. I don't know how this guy is still employed. I guess it's because he's at Arkansas. You know, Wisconsin didn't miss a beat after him, and they go down to Arkansas, and he hasn't shown me much. You know, I really liked Klinger or Klingsby or whatever that coach is at Tech. He went on an epic rant last year, their former quarterback, Kingsbury, whatever.
Yeah.
He kind of called out Bert Bielema. And so I thought that was funny, and it was pretty accurate. I've dealt with his attitude in the Big Ten for a long time, and it's a lot of talk. I surely think that they can beat Alabama. Alabama's going to go on a tough stretch in the next few games, and this is a road game. We'll see what happens. I think, though, at the end of the day, Alabama gets it done. But if everyone feels that way, then maybe we should pick against the spread. I see 13.5. For Arkansas. So I'll take Alabama, but I don't think that they cover.
Tommy, how do you feel about this game against the spread?
I think Alabama wins it. Right now, I'm seeing 14, but I think Alabama wins it by more than 14.
Sports City, upset of the day, I'm going with the Razorbacks. I'm going with Arkansas to get it done today to stop the Crimson Tide from rolling. I think that it happens today. Premier game, something about it. The reason why I say this is a questionable line. Alabama has been taking care of business. Arkansas, the last time that they played Alabama, they got cream. They got cream. So I don't know. It's something about this game that has me curious. I'm going up against the panel again. So back to back, I hope this doesn't cost me. I hope I feel good tomorrow morning about picking these two games. Colorado or Arkansas, please don't make me look bad. I'm going with both of you right now. Okay. I know I won't go
The SEC is not going to let Alabama lose. It's not happening. They lose money because then that would possibly knock them out of the playoffs. It's not happening. Alabama's not going to lose. That's their money thing. That's their money maker right now for the SEC.
We'll see. A lot more money will be made in Las Vegas. I know that. a lot more money will be made in Las Vegas. Wink, wink. And then both of you know what I mean. I know this. I will not go up against the panel in this one. Does anybody believe Rutgers can win at home in New Jersey up against Michigan?
I think this is another game where you can pick against the spread if you want to waste any time on it. I think Michigan runs away with this one.
Right. I think the way that Rutgers has been losing, they lost the game, 58-0 already this season to you guys in Ohio State. I think this is a statement game for Coach Harbaugh to get it done. I think they take care of it. I'm seeing it at 30.5. 30.5, 31. I think Michigan takes care of business. They might fall short of 30.5, might be 28. But I think they clearly batter Rutgers. But, 30.5, we're picking up against the spread. I would favor Michigan to cover it, but I think they could potentially fall short. But I'm going to go with them to cover. Tommy, your thoughts on this? Do you think Michigan could cover 30.5?
This is a practice game. It's not even worth talking about. I still ain't figured out why Rutgers went to the conference. I still ain't figured out why they went to this conference for. I'm still figuring that out.
That was a hilarious answer. He said a practice game. Okay.
That was funny.
It was. I couldn't hold the laugh. I had to laugh. Interesting pick of the day. Washington on the road up against Oregon. Washington is undefeated, a top five team in the top 25. Oregon looking like they need all of the recruits that they had of yesteryear. Oregon is under 500. Washington is favored in this game by 10. How do you guys feel about this, Huskies or Ducks? Doc, I'll go to you first.
You know, back to that Alabama-Arkansas game for a second, I always knew that TP, the Timeless Wonder, was a closet Ohio State fan, and I appreciate the fact he's taken Arkansas in that game to prove that Ohio State is the number one team in the country. Now, also about the mascots in that one, can a hog mount an elephant? I think it's physically impossible. Can a hog mount an elephant? In any event, you know, the flag, how good is Oregon, or how far have they fallen since Chip Kelly left? I mean, is Nike going to pull their sponsorship from this? Can they please now go back to just one home and one away uniform, because now nobody really cares? I think Washington goes into Eugene today and covers easily against the fallen Oregon Ducks.
Tommy, your thoughts on this game? Do you agree with Doc?
Yep, I agree. I think Oregon's fallen so bad. They have no defense. Offense, I mean, they still have somewhat of an offense, but it's not like it was even 2-3 years ago. Washington's impressed me. Washington's got a defense in the Pac-12, Ty. They've got a defense out there in the Pac-12. Offensively, they're lethal. They've got their I look for this to be the laugher of the day.
And the spread is at 10, so you think it could get uglier than 10?
Yep.
Good laugher. I like that one. Oregon, y'all got to show me more. After Lucas Mariota and all of the big names that you guys have not shown that you can put out an impressive product. But I doubt Nike pulls it because Phillip Knight is from the University of Oregon. So he's tied in by, you know, being an alum. Okay. I've danced around with this stuff too long and been nervous for the whole week. In OES Sports City, y'all know me. I'm a hurricane through and through. I bleed this blood for real. Don't listen to Doc ever in his life. Listen, every pick that Doc has put up, don't even go with him, and I've agreed with him on some of them. That's why I went against the panel on some of them, because Doc went with him, okay? Just because he said that Ohio State crap, and even if Arkansas does win, yes, Ohio State will fall into the number one seed. But, Tommy, on September 21st, what did I say will happen? Do you remember what I said September 21st?
I can actually say I don't.
Okay. I said, book it. Michigan will beat Ohio State. I said that September 21st. Book it.
I remember that.
Book it. So all of that crap Doc's sitting on, and I agree with Tommy, they play all of the cupcakes in the season until they meet Coach Harbaugh in that meaningful game. Wolverines, I want you to catch up to what's been going on in Sports City. Yes, I will give you the guarantee, or better yet, the guaranteed, since I'm a Rasheed Wallace fan. I'll give you the guaranteed Michigan beats Ohio State. So you can sit there and keep that little smile on all you want. Tears will fall sooner or later. Okay, so let me get involved into this matchup, the rivalry, the blood that runs through my veins every Saturday, orange and green all day long. I don't even have to say which way I'm going. So I'm going to go around the panel, see how you guys feel about it. Doc, I'll come to you first. Florida State visiting Miami.
I could go a lot of ways with this, but when was the last time this game ever meant anything? To outside of the people involved, I don't know. I mean, there for a while they tried making this an opening night game because it was a big deal. That flopped. These teams have never met in the ACC title game. The ACC tried setting it up so they would get that matchup. It hasn't worked. It's either been one team or the other team hasn't held up their end of their bargain. Probably isn't going to happen again this year. But I'm going to be nice to the Canes today, since I'm coming back into the kitchen. I think they're the better team. And they got the game at home. And Florida State is still struggling there with their offense and their quarterback. I just hope it doesn't come down to a field goal again. So I'm going to take the Canes and watch one of the most overhyped rivalries in all of college sports for the past 20 years.
Overhyped? You are being real disrespectful. Overhyped? Really? Really? Okay, no, I'm not even going to. Look, he just got back and he's trying to push my button, Sports City. I'm going to relax. But I, like I said, I need the fun. I need the fun. I need it. Okay, Tommy. Close the door in this situation. Who do you like and why?
First, everybody knows who I'm picking. I've already said it. I'll give you my worries first. One, the criminals, the seminal holes, however you want to say it, are backed in a corner. So they're going to come out with, I mean, it's Miami. So, two, I really wish Brad Kaya could scramble, because then I would really feel more comfortable. Take that away from Brad. I think Brad's dice is just secondary. The other thing that worries me is our offensive line at times. I mean, we need to shut down Dalvin Cook as good as possible. But say that, we cannot get into everybody jumping to Dalvin Cook and then him able to hit Randall or Rudolph or any French wall, when I say. We can't let him comfortable and pick us apart. I'd rather see him throw the ball because I think our secondary can pick the hell out of him. I'm going 38-21 Canes. And the Rock is rocking.
Wow, he gave a big score too. Whoa. Okay. Oh, all right. Fair enough. Fair enough. He already said you already know which way I'm going on that matter. Two games left in the top 25. Arizona and Utah up against the Utes. How do you guys feel about this? Utah is favored by 9.5, a 10 o'clock start, Eastern Standard. Tommy, I'll come to you first. Do you think Arizona and Rodriguez could take care of business, or do Utah keep this thing rolling and get away from the tips of the top 25?
I think Arizona could win this.
Oh.
I really do. I'm not impressed with Utah. I went with Utah last week. They had six chances to score inside, I believe, what, the five, and they couldn't do it against a Cal team that doesn't really give up, that really doesn't play defense. I'm going with you. I think Arizona upsets Utah.
Well, we got an upset on the brink, people. We got an upset on the brink. Doc, who do you like in this matchup? Do you agree with Tommy that Coach Rodriguez could get it done up against the Utes and knock the Utes out of the top 25 potentially because they're 24th ranked? Or does Utah save face and stay in the top 25 up against a questionable Arizona team?
Yeah, I definitely think Arizona can win, and I think they're going to win. The line here that I have is Utah 9.5, giving 9.5. That just seems like a lot to me in a game like this. Considering, I mean, look, what do I know? The bookmakers are the ones that are making the money, but Arizona can score some points. I mean, I'm going to take Arizona. I just have a feeling that this is ripe for an upset.
Okay, so they both went with Arizona. I guess I'm going up against the panel. I'm going with the Utes at home to get it done. at least I feel safe about this one. Okay, I am watching this one closely because if I end up losing this one, I know they will let me hear it, at least on the brunch tomorrow, that's for sure. Okay, last game of the evening, top 25. Does anybody think Washington State can continue from what they did last week and making me look good, because I picked them right here in Sports City, the only person to go against the panel and pick the Cougars to win last week up against Oregon. I know. But do they get it done up against Stanford, Christian McCaffrey and company? After McCaffrey and them got punched all, I can't even say punched in the face, like punched in the head, the stomach, the chest, face, shoulders, like everything happened to Stanford up against Washington. Does this theme continue from that same state, Washington State, up against Stanford, or does everybody think Stanford bounces back after having that big loss up against the Huskies last week?
Part of me wants to go with the Cougars. That offensive line for Stanford is suspect. The quarterback play, suspect. I mean, really, I called it, Ty, before the season started. Everybody was McCaffrey. What's he done without that offensive line that he had last year, without Hogan throwing the ball downfield? I mean, I want to pull the trigger and say the Cougs, but I'll stay with Stanford. I'll go with Stanford. I think they actually bounce back.
I try to force him to do it for City. Okay, Doc, your thoughts on this game. Do you think the Cougars can pull an upset and knock off Stanford, or does Stanford actually get back on track after a big loss last week?
You know, the Pac-12 is going to make everybody eat a shit burger this entire season. Outside of Washington, it really is, and I'm not even sure how good they are, but they're the number five team in the country, and if they run the table, they're in the playoffs. There's just simply no doubt about it. This is – you just don't know. I'm kind of torn because I like the lure of taking Washington State, the big upset pick. I think they have the talent to do it. But, you know, at the end of the day, Stanford still has the best player in the game. In this particular game, McCaffrey. So I think just on that alone, I'm going to go with Stanford. But, you know, don't hold this against me if it doesn't happen, simply because you just don't know in the Pac-12. When you get these other tier teams outside of Washington, it's hard to say. But I'm going to go with Stanford just on the legs of their running back.
I'm going to agree with the panel. I'm going with Stanford to bounce back. I think McCaffrey actually tries to do as much as he can for the remainder of the season to try and save face for being a Heisman candidate, even though I think he's fallen severely out of the ranking after losing that bad up against Washington. But just like Doc says, and just like Tommy went to at the start of this topic, I wouldn't, you know, feel bad if Washington won this. Mike Leach is a coach that likes to see the ball thrown. Luke Falk has been throwing the hell out of the ball and has 1,500 yards passing on the season, 12 touchdowns thrown. If they pick on Stanford secondary, they can win this game. I am going to agree with the panel. I'm going to go with Stanford. This line is questionable at 6.5, and this is in Palo Alto. This is in California, and it's that low, and they're coming off of a loss like this. I would not be surprised if Washington State pulled off the win, especially coming off an emotional win last week, but I'm going with Stanford. I think Stanford gets it done. But, like, again, Christian McCaffrey, if Washington State shuts you down, it's over for your run toward that Heisman. I know that much. Okay, so we are at the tail end of the show. Great stuff. Energy felt here in the kitchen, that's for sure. I'm not buying all of that stuff that Doc tried to throw out, and we need to get over stuff from 2002. He brought 2002 up. He brought it up. I didn't bring it up. Tommy didn't bring it up. He brought it up. Listen to him. He comes back into the kitchen throwing punches. Man, you know what? Like I said, the last time Miami played Ohio State, we beat them. That's all. And he said holding or pass interference. They didn't throw that holding a pass interference in the middle of the play when they thought it had happened. Rambo was in the air trying to make that catch. It went through his hands. Sharp is looking at him. I still have the picture. Sharp is looking at it happen. It goes through his game. You had an opportunity to make that play. Make the play. Oh, they don't have playmakers. Okay, so let me get close out anything that you guys would like to shut it down off of as we get into our respective games. All ready to start to the Red River Rivalry 0-0 score. I'm watching this closely. I'm trying to do this and take care of business on the show, but I need plugs and closeouts from the both of you. Mr. Russell, thank you for stopping by the tailgate. You know what to do at this given point in time.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having the defending national champion of the all-rookie level of Madden football in the kitchen today on the tailgate. One thing I hope we get to talk about at some point in time, we're getting about halfway through the season, and I think the Heisman conversation can begin, which really has unfortunately devolved into the best quarterback on the best team in the country. A lot of guys are starting to take shape in the Heisman conversation. Will be interesting to see how some of them do today around the country. The interesting thing, since the Miami Hurricanes beat the Ohio State Buckeyes last time, we've won a couple conference titles and a national championship. Maybe somebody can tell me what Miami has done since then at the right time. So in any event, I'm going to get off of here, and I'm going to watch what is the biggest rivalry game of the day, the battle for the 90-pound pig, the Floyd of Rosedale.
Okay, I do want to mention this. At that point in time when you won your conference championships and things of that nature, who was tough in the Big Ten or Big 11, however you want to situate it. Okay, Wisconsin and all they were focused on Melvin Gordon, like that was if you stop him and you stop the team that had no quarterback play, who was a stud? Michigan State, stop. Iowa went undefeated out there, didn't they? And I got shown up here on air because I started siding with Iowa. People were like, "Ty, stop! Don't do it."
Hold on.
I'll let you speak. Whoa! I don't cut you off. You said you cut off people once. You cut me off about two or three times today. You come back and you cut me off about two or three times today.
That's my Tim Kaine.
Look, this is what I'm talking about. No, not Tim Kaine. Look, Sports City, and I'm dealing with a Republican. And I can get along with him. I can make him smile and laugh and things of that nature. This is what I do. This is what I can do, okay? And he's talking junk about political stuff. He's talking junk about the Hurricanes. And you know what? He still hasn't even answered the question of anybody that's been tough in the Big Ten since they won their little conference championships up there. Since. Who?
Can I talk now?
Okay. I'll let you finish.
I don't want to go. Look, I'll say this. I'll give you the Big Ten has been down some of those years, and so Ohio State decided to beat everybody with their third-string quarterback, including Alabama, for the national championship. So we just tried to make it as fair as possible. Who's the third-string quarterback for Miami that's won a national championship? Well, actually, when was the last time they won a national championship? Because I can tell you what happened to them the last time they played for one.
2002 was the last time they won a national championship. Robbed by zebras.
I got the U right here. You know, if you turn the U upside down and put a line in the middle of it, you know what it looks like.
I don't know. What, an M? Michigan? I said Michigan will win when you guys meet. I did say that. I did say that yeah. Michigan Wolverines would beat you. So if you put a line in the middle of the U turned upside down, it's an M. So, Sports City, he said that I went Ohio State. He might be going Miami or Michigan. You tell me, Sports City. You be the judge. He said it himself. I didn't say anything about me being an Ohio State fan. I didn't. But he's already talking about an M. He's already talking about an M, people. You heard it here first. I have it recorded. You can check this out whenever you need to. Tommy, I need a plug, close out, shut it down. You already know what to do here. This is how you deal with Doc Russell. This is what I'm talking about. I know how to deal with Buckeye fans. I know what to do.
Yeah, good show. Glad Doc can make it. Hopefully he can make it more often. Nobody cares about the overrated small 10. They don't play no football in there. It's a two-team conference. Nobody gives a damn about their sorry asses. I got to shake my head at you, Florida Gators. You postpone your game against LSU. Fine, Hurricane, wah, wah, wah. But now when but the story is you wouldn't travel to Baton Rouge to play the game or you know, on a neutral field like they wanted. The SEC tried to work with you. You wouldn't do it. Now you're bitching and you're whining that the game may not be rescheduled. Wait a minute. I got the schedule pulled up. November 19th, your sorry asses are playing a no-name, Pentadental or whatever it's freaking called. Southern LSU is playing Southern Alabama. I got an idea. You two play November 19th. You go ahead and you send the money to the team because that's really all they're after is money because they're not going to win. So you pay them and you play the game because LSU wins out, they still don't win the West because they don't have enough wins. So meaning if LSU wins out, they beat Alabama, they beat Texas A&M, it still doesn't matter. So, Florida, stop being gay like we know you are, you bunch of bitches. You run from Miami because you can't beat us, so now you're running from LSU because you can't win the East. You sorry crybaby bitches. Now, see, that's why I don't respect you, Florida. I have more respect for the criminals up in Trailer Cassidy than I do your sorry asses because you run.
What do you think of Florida?
I know another team that's scared to play Miami. They're in Columbus, Ohio. That's what I have to say. I know another team that's scared to play us. Ask them what happened the last time we played. Ask them the last time they needed referee help to play us. That's what happens up against Columbus. Well, matter of fact, the year that the referees gave them that game, as Jim Tressel, whose camp he watched all 2000-2001, they wear orange and green. Ask Jim Tressel. Ask him. He studied the blueprint down there in South Beach. I don't mean to dig at him. I don't need to do this. I don't. But this is what Doc set up for me. But this is the cooler. This is the tailgate. We got the cooler out, the grills lit. Grab a cold one, people. Enjoy your Saturday afternoon. Enjoy your game. You know what? I may have picked Ohio State to win, but if Indiana wins this game, it will not be a safe place here at the brunch tomorrow. I know that much. SportsCityChefs.com, that is the website. Check out the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We will be back here tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard. The brunch should be rocking and rolling, talking about the games that take place. Hopefully I'm 100%. And also, what is it, week five games that we get to talk about in the NFL season. I'm in the same situation with Doc. His team isn't doing too well in the NFL. But that's a whole other discussion. I won't even get into that because, look, he's been digging, and I'm going to find him wherever he is. If he's on PlayStation 4 or Xbox One, I'm playing him on his rookie channel, and I won't let him press reset. I won't let him press reset. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again, and if they don't know, now they know.
What about be caught in this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunts connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run a town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turned me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money.
Who would have thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.